You are listening to the Fab Intro Show. Hi, Stephanie, how are you?
Good.
This is the Fab Intro Podcast. I'm Bill Russo, the host. Welcome. I understand that you've traveled extensively throughout the world, not just recently, but many, many times in the past, and you've taken all sorts of forms of travel and had tremendous experiences. Is that right?
Correct.
Yeah. Tell us about your recent travels and a little bit about yourself.
All right. My name is Stephanie. I lived and traveled around the world. I think my motto is work hard, play hard. I've been very blessed to meet wonderful people in my life that I've had also lifelong friends. Very spiritual travels, good vibrations, very little bad experiences. I think if you have an open mind and you want to travel and meet people, especially with different cultures, you have to be humble and to be patient and to speak clearly. A lot of Americans have bad reputations because they just go for see everything superficial. I look at people not just what they are at face value, but inside their karma, their way, their friendliness. And this has given me wonderful guidance and paths to protect me, because I am a woman, I travel alone, I've been doing it for many years. So I'm going to start with my recent journeys. I've just been away from the end of April until the end of June. Okay, back at my birthday at the end of June, I travel all different ways. I went across from New York, transatlantic, on a cruise. And the cruise, I turned lemons into lemonade. Two of our first stops were canceled. Well, actually, the two second stops were canceled because of icebergs. So the ship didn't go to those ports. They just went across. And I'm not a person that likes the very cold. So we stopped in Iceland. It was 0 degrees. I said, I'm going to stay in. I've been to Iceland before. I went also down and through Ireland, which was a wonderful experience because my ancestry, my grandfather was born in Belfast. I was able to go to Belfast and see the organization he belonged to was marching that day. I mean, talk about at the right time, at the right place.
That's amazing. Like, that really is amazing. So tell me, you planned all this trip by yourself.
Took me months.
Months to plan the trip.
I planned the trip.
Where you would go first, what transportation you would take, all the costs involved, the transfers, yes. Etc.
Yes. Well, the first, like I said, was a cruise transatlantic from New York over to my destination was Southampton. Mm-hmm. And part of the itinerary was Ireland. And I was able to do Belfast. Like I said, my grandfather was an Orangeman, and the Orangemen were parading that day. Very coincidental. And then when the ship landed near Dublin, I decided to stay on. Everything is, I think, the idea of making intuition decisions. The two tenders broke down, so I would have been waiting in the cold. That was a good decision to stay on board. You don't always have to go out at ports if the cruise ship lands there. And being I've traveled so much, I said, oh, well, I'll see it next time. But I finally wound up going down to my destination, which was Southampton. Then in Southampton, I flew to Rome. And in Rome...
Stephanie, back up a minute. When your first destination after leaving the United States was England?
Yes, that was the final destination, correct. But it stopped. The itinerary was Halifax, St. John, St. Pierre, Iceland, Belfast, Dublin, and then Southampton. That was the itinerary.
And you had time in each of those cities, or they were basically just ports of call for a couple hours?
Ports of call for so many hours during the day. So you would either get off and walk or do a tender, which is the small transportation off the ship to the port, when they gave you so many hours a day to visit and come back. And I was very surprised that at the end of April, it was still very quite cold. So, you know, this was a good note to remember, to travel in warmer weather. But it was fine because I was able to go to Belfast and spend the day in Belfast. That day in Belfast was not only to see the Orangemen, which are the Masons, of course, marching, but I was able to get a taxi driver that I bargained to take me back to the port because I was walking around Belfast
all
day.
Now, you referenced the Orangemen. Tell me about that.
Orangemen are a group of the Freemasons.
I see. In Ireland?
In Ireland. In Belfast, yes. This was the Orangemen of Belfast, which my grandfather was one of, that got awards or something from Prince Philip. And it goes back a long history. But it was a wonderful thing to see this at that same day. I mean, I just happened to be at the right place at the right time as they were marching, as the rain stopped. I mean, everything was just, it was amazing.
This is great. This is great family history. You know, many of our guests who come on the Fab Intro show have wonderful stories. And often I ask them, do you have anything that you've written about? Or some of the people I interview are authors, and they've written extensively about their family legacy and their experiences. What we offer on the Fab Intro show is the fact that this show will be recorded, saved, and people can listen to this. And even people that you know could say, listen, I spoke on the Fab Intro show, the host was Bill Russo, and I spoke about my grandfather, and I spoke about the Irishman. So we are glad to provide that to you. So tell us more.
Well, it's just that I sort of wanted to follow the footsteps of my grandfather because he worked for the British government. He was a surveyor for the Suez Canal, and he was in Malta. So I just wanted to go and backtrack some of his experiences, because they lived in, my grandmother and grandfather lived in Rangoon, Burma for 18 years. And I had an aunt and uncle that were born
Now you mentioned Burma. Burma was a British colony.
Correct.
At the time. Uh-huh.
Yes, this is, we're going back when it was the real gold dome of Rangoon before the earthquake, from what my grandmother told me. So I'm trying to remember all the things that she had told me, because I do have some old postcards, you know, showing the original temple of Rangoon.
That's interesting. Do you still have the postcards?
I do.
Oh, you know, there's a whole field out there of people who collect postcards, and that would be very interesting, especially postcards that have messages on them. Oh, I was just here, and I met so-and-so, and I did so-and-so. That's wonderful, wonderful treasures of family history. I'm so proud that you have that.
Thank you. And I'm glad to share the information. But I'm procrastinating and writing about my book. I mean, there's going to be maybe two of them, but I'm going to have to sit down one day and really put pen to paper and do it. I started a little bit, but it's not enough. The interesting part is that of meeting people and having an open heart to meet people, and the idea is having respect and showing it truthfully. When you meet somebody, you look at them and you are friendly with them. It always helps to learn a few words in their language. It gives them more of a respect towards you. It's not, oh, you're just another tourist here, you know, what do you need? And then going away. It winds up that they start to tell you and show you. I've had people literally take me physically to places if I was lost or I wanted to go somewhere and show me exactly where I had to go. It's just amazing how people are in the world in different cultures.
That's so good to hear. And what you're sharing with the listeners and people associated with the program, the Fab Intro Enterprise, is really heartening to know that you use certain humane and gentle techniques, so to speak, speaking a word or two in somebody's language, being very warm and friendly, that it goes a long way and it makes this world better place, because the people who you meet who are native to whatever country, they're forming impressions as you're forming impressions. And it's good to hear you. And we're listening to Stephanie Blaine on the Fab Intro podcast. Continue, Stephanie.
Yes. So as I was going to Southampton, and then I flew to Rome, and I made this idea because I had a lot of luggage. I was leaving the end of April, and I wasn't coming back till June. And during this itinerary that I created, I was going on a cruise ship that had evening dress-up nights and gala nights, and that entails formal costumes, high heels and evening bags and all the whole thing of getting dressed up every day. So I wasn't planning on carrying all of this with me. So I was able, they have now in Europe, they don't have any more here in America. It's very rare to find luggage storage. So I stored the luggage that I didn't need in Rome, flew to Trieste, where I picked up I stayed in Trieste. And I'm going to talk quite a bit about Trieste. And then when I speak again, I will speak again my travels from Trieste, because this trip was extensive.
And well, then Trieste, you know, we will talk about Trieste on this podcast. And certainly love to have you back on the Fab Intro show. That would be one of the list. Trieste is not one of those common cities that tourists go to, but it should be, based on what I know from what you've told me in the past. So tell the audience about Trieste. Speaking with Stephanie Blaine.
Yes, Trieste, if you go back in time and history, which I like to do because I'm an old-fashioned girl, it was part of the Hungarian regime, which was the main five countries, which was what, Poland, Hungary, Czechoslovakia, Yugoslavia, which doesn't exist anymore, and Austria. It was the five, King Ferdinand, Franz Joseph reign, and all of that ancestry trickled down into the northern part of Italy. And that northern part of Italy is on the other side of the island, or the extension, not the island, but the extension of the boot of Italy. It's over on top of Croatia. It's right on top of Croatia. So if you were to go to Trieste and drive south, you'll go smack into those countries, Slovenia and another Umbria, and then you would go into Croatia, which a lot of people don't realize. They think Trieste is in the main part of Italy, which it's not. This part of Italy is one of the most fabulous parts of the world. It's cultured. It's beautiful. It's clean. The people are friendly. The architecture is beautiful. The city is well managed. It's so very, very well organized. I stayed in a beautiful apartment, large enough for four people. I like to rent apartments because I'm very particular about my breakfast is my biggest meal of the day. So I like to cook, and it was amazing. The food was beyond beautiful. The plum, they were cherry tomatoes, but they were almost like plum tomatoes, and they were like sugar. I didn't want to leave. The food was fabulous and not more expensive than here. In fact, I found it to be less expensive than in America right now, and fresh. and the size. I have photographs of the vegetables, and I took all these photographs, and I will pass them on to Bill if he wants to use them on his Facebook, but the size of the squash and wow. And the tomatoes. And it was amazing, giant mushrooms. I mean, you wouldn't believe.
Stephanie, I want to ask you this question before we wrap it up, and we'll have you back for the next one. When you went to Trieste, and that was an important part of your journey, when you meet people there and you talk to them, whether they're in the place that you're staying or on the street, public places, events, places that you go in, out and about town, what questions do they ask you? Are they curious about you as an American? Or do they make any comments about the status of the United States or anything? What is their curiosity about us, about America?
I wasn't approached because I kind of blend in. Okay. I dress down. I don't wear shorts. I don't wear...
So you don't dress like a tourist, in other words?
No. I dress local. I dress with nice clothes, comfortable shoes. I look like I live there.
That's what we call here a fab intro.
Yeah.
Very good.
And when I spoke Italian, which I did quite a bit, because I grew up around a good friend of ours, Chacha from Mulberry Street, mm-hmm. Being around him and all our friends, and grew up with a friend of mine whose mother was Sicilian, I learned quite a bit of Italian. And when I told you I was leaving and I was worried about my Italian, and you said to me, you'll be fine, that was an understatement, Bill, because I spoke Italian, and it was very funny because one of the owners of the apartment building that I was in would speak to me in English and Italian, and he said, oh, you speak with a southern dialect.
Right. Oh, wow.
And I've been saying, right. I wonder why, right? Because of being around all the Nobile Donna Sicilian influence in my life, it all came back. I couldn't believe how much Italian I knew and how much I understand. They thought I was local to the point where they were asking me questions in Italian.
That's great. You know, ladies and gentlemen, we have been talking to Stephanie Blaine, and I can say that you basically are saying that when you go to another country, be friendly, use the word, learn a word or two of the language, dress appropriately, and if you give yourself an opportunity to be open and to show respect for others, they will respect and help you. I think that goes also for visitors to America. And, you know, there's a lot that's said about Americans, et cetera, and there are many stereotypes, but I find even in New York, New Yorkers are friendly and open and helpful.
Yes, and no, there's some Americans, especially some of the new age of the children and everything, they don't really know. They're not aware of where things are. Mm-hmm. There are people that live here and they don't know where such and such place is or where that place is, or maybe they're in a hurry or they don't want to be bothered. But it happens once in a while. And on the other hand, you will find people that will help people that are friendly. But getting back to Trieste, I recommend visiting this wonderful place in the world. Is a place called Miramar. It's a castle, and I know how to travel locally. I'm a big bus person. I took the bus. It took me right there. You go up, climb up, and this castle is from the Hungarian Empire. The castle was built a long time ago, and it was gardens and everything, and magnificent. I have photos to share with Bill that he can post if he'd like, and it's just magnificent. There's a yacht club there, and there's a restaurant there, and the bus takes you right back to the main city, to downtown.
Thank you, Stephanie. We're running
wonderful.
Out of time, but it's been unbelievably interesting what you've told me, and the last part of our conversation having to do with Trieste is amazing. I did not know about the Miramare Castle. And ladies and gentlemen, you can even look that up under M-I-R-A-M-A-R-E, Miramare in Italian, Miramare Castle. You can put Miramare in your search engine. And Miramare Castle will come up in as a website, which you can review and put that on your travel itinerary. And we will have Stephanie Blaine back on the Fab Intro Show. And she will be doing another Fab Intro introduction to her travels. Thank you, Stephanie.
Thank you for inviting me, Bill. And have a wonderful day, everyone.
Safe travels. Bye.
Ciao.
Ciao, ciao.
Listening to the Fab Intro Show. Visit us on our website, www.fabintro.com. Thank you.